Hi there. My name is Jeff Frankham, and I want to welcome you to C3 Ballina's Podcasts. We're so pleased that you can join us. And if you are ever in the Northern Rivers area, we would love to meet you. Our Sunday service starts at 10:30 a.m., but we also have great coffee and nibbles starting from 10. But right now, we pray that as you hear this talk, we pray your faith would grow and that your understanding of what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus would become more real, more practical, and more empowering.
Hey, can we warmly welcome Pastor Jeff as he comes and speaks to us this morning?
Thank you, Georgia. Jesus said to go into all the world. He made it clear that we were not to be inactive in our Christian faith. We weren't to be passive. We weren't to be sedentary, just waiting around and wondering what God's doing. You know, he commissioned us to be active and to go. To be actively doing stuff and to be actively representing Jesus in the earth. In fact, the first two-thirds of God is go, G-O-D. First two-thirds is go. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, it says this. Jesus was talking to his disciples and training them and equipping them. And he said this, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. Go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. I don't know about you, but our world, I think, desperately needs some good news. Turn on the news of a night time and there's wars in Ukraine, and between Ukraine and Russia there's war in Israel. There's military dictatorships and wars in a number of third world countries in our world. There's persecution of minorities in countries like India. There's an aggressive have a jihad against non-believers. Our world needs good news because there's an awful lot of bad news at the moment. There's an awful lot of misery. There's an awful lot of suffering. There's an awful lot of conflict, an awful lot of strife. We have a world wrestling with greed and corruption, and it's very obvious in some third world countries, the greed and corruption's there. But I think in all of our countries, in all of our nations, even in Australia, there is times when there's greed and corruption and self-interest and stuff that's going on. We need some good news. The leader of the free world, the leader of the United States of America, who has the ability to destroy the planet with nuclear weapons, I think should really be in an aged person's home. I know. But there's some bad news. I just wonder what can happen. You know, his alternative is a narcissistic populist who I won't say much more about than that. Where's the good news? And it's not just overseas that we see this mess. We see this constant mess. In Australia, we're seeing the gradual erosion from both sides of politics of religious freedoms that we've enjoyed for years, that were fought for by significant people, and the erosion of our personal freedoms like never before. And those religious freedoms and personal freedoms are being replaced by alternative spiritualities, which we're expected to buy into, and alternative belief systems. If you were like me this last week, you would have seen in Western Australia a farmer there on his own property has a stream that's flowing through there, and it was actually not flowing at the moment, but he needed to get his four-wheel drive across the stream okay. So he built this sort of culvert, sort of a bit of a bridge, a culvert going across there. And anyway, the authorities found out about that, and he's now facing possible jail time because his bridge has interfered with the Aboriginal rainbow serpent. He built something without taking notice of that, and now he's being prosecuted. Now he faces possible jail time because this spirituality, which is alternative to Christianity, has replaced some of the Christian values that we used to have. There's an alternative spirituality that is in direct opposition to Christianity. We're seeing that more and more. It's not good news, it's bad news, but Jesus said to take good news into the world. It's been so fashionable over the last 40 to 50 years to portray Christianity as oppressive, that somehow the church is oppressive, that pastors and ministers are oppressive people, that the church is cruel, that Christians are bigoted. And that's been said that many of the world's conflicts have been blamed on followers of Jesus, that somehow we're not the answer, we're not the solution, that we don't have good news, we're actually purveyors of bad news. But this is the good news. I believe that genuine, authentic faith in Jesus, not religious systems, not religiosity, not certain words that are used, but people that have a genuine, authentic faith in Jesus. I believe that that is good news. That's the best way to live. And that Jesus and his teachings allow us to become the very best versions of what it means to be human. The very best versions. As you follow along and come to church Sunday by Sunday, as you worship him and allow him into your life, as you open up your world to other fellow believers, as you come Sunday by Sunday and hear what's shared from the front and make some changes in your own world, I believe that's good news, and that's shaping you into becoming the very best person that you could actually be. But not only that, it's shaping you into a person that can handle the rigors and the difficulties and the challenges of living in a fallen world, living in a difficult world. I believe that knowing Jesus and following his ways today is good news. Can you say yes to that? It's good news. It's good news. We have good news. And Australia and the world needs good news. Last week, I spoke very from personal experience and spoke about how personally we need to overcome things. But today, I'm not talking about us personally and our challenges. I'm talking about the need for us to share with others what God has done in our world. So we have a responsibility to be carriers of good news. When Jesus commissioned his disciples to go, that commission has been passed down from generation to generation. And today, as followers of Jesus, that great commission demands a response from each and every one of us in this place today. Each and every one of us watching online, it demands a response from us. It asks this question: okay, if this is good news and Jesus has commissioned us to take it into the world in which we live, then what are we going to do about it? And even more so, what are you going to do about it? The psalmist in Psalm 67, verse 2, well before Jesus appeared on the scenes, recorded these words that were prophetically going to echo what Jesus said. And he said, "Send us around the world with the news, God, of your saving power and of your eternal plan for mankind." There's a cry within the psalmist's heart, send us around the world. Send us out. What's that plan? I like to join Matthew chapter 28 with Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 and put it simply this way: go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. Go and be my witnesses. Go and let people know what I have done in your world. Not as a prosecutor in terms of a courtroom, not as a judge, not as someone who is there as a jury and executioner, but as a witness, someone who simply lets people into your world and lets the reality of Jesus flow out. Four areas there: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. Four distinct areas that we are to go into. The first one of those is Jerusalem, and we have a responsibility to bring the good news of Jesus to our Jerusalem. Not physical Jerusalem, or that would be good, but to our Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the place where the disciples lived, and our Jerusalem is the north coast of New South Wales. We have a responsibility to take the good news of Jesus to the people of the north coast of New South Wales, to our neighbours, to your neighbours, to our workmates and to our fellow people that we work with, to our school friends, to our relatives, to those that live around us. We have a responsibility to take the good news of Jesus and to somehow let people to see that, not by preaching on the street corners. I think the days of standing on the street corner and harassing people as they walk past, telling them they're going to go to hell unless they follow Jesus, those days are long gone past. And when people see someone doing that, they flick the switch and they turn off and they're not interested. Not by knocking on doors, trying to have an argument about with someone that you are right and they are wrong. Not by force feeding people our opinions and our beliefs about current events and what's happening in the world, but by loving people. By loving people, that's the way that we do it. That's the way we share the good news of Jesus, by loving people. Every human heart longs for love and acceptance. And even here today, there's probably some people, you struggle with loneliness. You struggle with saying, does anyone really love me? Does anyone really accept me? There could well be people like that. Every human heart longs for love and acceptance. We live amongst people who constantly live in a love deficit. Their love tank is constantly running out. And for many, their love tank is running on empty. And we have the opportunity to love people. You have the opportunity to love people. Each of us have the responsibility to love people. We have the opportunity to share a kind word. What does love look like? Sometimes love just looks like a kind word that's shared to someone. And a word of appreciation, a word of encouragement to someone who's struggling, a word of love to someone who's facing a difficulty of some sort and they just not want to know that someone cares about them and is with them. What does love look like? It looks like an occasional random act of kindness, just being kind to someone for the sake of being kindness. It looks like love looks like being positive in a world of negativity when everyone else around you as saying, you know, we're all doomed, it's not going to work out, it's terrible, it's bad. And you have a word of positivity in the midst of that. It means sometimes to absorb someone else's pain and rejection. It means sometimes you have to laugh at inconvenience and laugh at disruption, even though you feel like raging at that situation or that person or that thing. Love means to not be offended when someone cuts us off at the lights and you feel like bipping your horn and waving your fist out the window or raising an inappropriate finger or something like that. It means to smile more than we frown. It means to repay insults with compliments. It means sometimes that we have to be big-hearted when we feel like all we want to do is push back somehow. Church is a great place to explore that. When you arrived this morning, there were a number of people at the front who would have smiled at you and they would have said good morning. And you came along here and they just expressed some of the good news of Jesus to you through that little expression of love. Hi, good morning. Great to see you today. Welcome to church. There's a number of people here, they were witnesses of Jesus' love and they were carriers of good news. Or maybe it was the person who made you an amazing cup of coffee this morning that you really enjoyed. Or maybe it was someone who expressed the good news and their love for you by putting a chair out, which you sat on. Or who was running the media, so there was words to the songs that we were able to sing this morning. Or there was a live stream so that someone can't be here this morning in person. They can still watch, they can still participate in a community of faith because someone was here at 8:30 this morning putting the media together and getting the camera, everything worked out. Or musicians who've been here since 9, going over and over till they got things just right so that we could join in with their worship and their praise. Maybe it's someone hosting a small group in their home. The easiest way to be a witness for Jesus is to jump in Jerusalem, is to jump in and do something. To jump in and do something. That's a great way of expressing the good news that God has done something in your life. I've mentioned Graham and Gabby before. Where are you sitting today, Graham and Gabby? You're not in your normal place. Oh, down the back a bit further. I mentioned them before. And if I ask Graham to come up and speak for a half hour on being a witness for Jesus, I think he would gracefully decline. I think he would. Got that right. But ask him and Gabby to give up their Friday night to drive a busload of loud teenagers to a youth meeting, and they're in. They're in. And some of those, yeah. Thank you, guys. And some of those teenagers haven't been to church, and some of those teenagers don't know Jesus, and some of those teenagers are struggling with their own self-image, and some of those teenagers might even be wondering if life is worth living. But here on a Friday night is a couple who've given up their time to come and drive a bus to take them to a place where they can have an encounter with Jesus because they are witnessing to the good news of what God has done in their world and in their life. They're giving an expression to that. They're doing something. And you might wonder, well, I'm not real good at speaking and knocking on doors or doing any of those things. I feel shy about my faith. But that doesn't matter. It's not the words that you speak. It's the life that you live. And you can get involved in some area of just serving in the life of this church so that when people come along from the outside who perhaps don't know Jesus, don't know what it means to be a follower. They come into this place wondering if there's anyone that would really love them. Come to this place wondering and struggling with the issues of self-acceptance and all sorts of things. They come in and there's someone that smiles at them and says, good morning. And someone who makes them a cup of coffee and someone who shows them around and someone makes sure that they're not standing by themselves feeling awkward, but you go up and have a conversation. That's witnessing for Jesus. Be my witnesses. But it's not just Jerusalem, your local place. Secondly, it's Judea. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea. And our Judea, I believe, is Australia. That's our Judea. And one of the ways that we witness to Australia is by being part of a movement of churches called C3 Churches. It's not a perfect movement of churches. It has some things that they could do better, that we could do better. But they do most things really well. And right across Australia, there's over 150 churches, C3 churches right across Australia. And we have an opportunity, not just as individual churches, but as a movement of the churches, to raise the flag and say, hey guys, this is church. We're not religious churches. We're not a religious movement. We use contemporary methods. We don't have a pipe organ. There's nothing wrong with pipe organs. They're beautiful in their place. But we have a contemporary band, so that the same sort of style of music that you might hear at the pub on Thursday or Friday night, young people can come in off the street, or medium people or old people can come in off the street, and they hear something that is contemporary. They hear something that they can relate to. Here's something though, that's because you don't go very many places and hear pipe organ music nowadays. You don't do that just for recreation. But we give something that's contemporary. It's a movement of churches where it has a high emphasis on faith and prayer and sound biblical doctrine. It's a movement that places high value upon the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus just didn't leave us to fend for ourselves, but he sent the Holy Spirit, and we have access to the Holy Spirit through the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit wants to be at work in your life and at my life and in our community, and the Holy Spirit comes with power to do stuff that we can't do. As a movement, we are witnessing for Jesus to our nation, our Judea. And then thirdly, it's Samaria. Samaria was an area as part of Jerusalem, but it was an area that had a different ethnicity. It was an area where there were people that were different to the Israelites, a people that had a different ethnic background. And within our communities, there are ethnic groups that will never walk into our churches because they won't. Maybe they're from Asia or if they're from South Asia. Maybe they're Buddhist. Maybe they're Muslims. Maybe they're South Americans. But our commission is to witness to people from other ethnicities, other ethnic backgrounds. And that's a real interesting question to wrestle with. How do we actually do that? How do we witness to these people? I don't have a clear answer to that, except I know it means building relationships. We've got in our little town where we live, there's a person who works in one of the small shops, and he comes from South Asia, and he's not a follower of Jesus, but I've got to know him over the last year. And we have a little chat and a little catch-up, and I saw him yesterday, and I said to Carolyn when I got back in the car, I said, I wonder if we should invite him for a meal. I wonder if he would come to our place for a meal, not to try and convert him, not to try and witness to him, not to try and lead him in the sinner's prayer, but just to try and love him. Love him, and I don't even know if he's got a family. I'll work on that next. But that's an opportunity. We all have those opportunities. And sometimes when we see someone of a different ethnic background, we recoil from that because they seem to be so different to what we know and what we experience. But I've discovered that even when people don't see things just the way that you do, if you'll reach out to them, if you'll try and love them, if you'll be inclusive, then they often respond to that and you find you actually have more in common than you realize. The fourth area, witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then it says to the remotest parts of the earth. We have a responsibility, each and every one of us, to be witnessing in these four areas. Witnessing to the friends in the area we live in, witnessing to the people in Australia through involvement with whatever, witnessing to those of other ethnic groups, but then we also have a responsibility to be witnessing to those who are in remote places, in countries overseas from us. And that might be sponsoring a child. Carolyn and I have got a couple of children that we sponsor with different organisations. It might be going on a short-term mission trip to one of these other foreign countries. Perhaps it's connecting with Jonathan and Kate and what they do in India there and supporting them with what they are doing there. But each of us have a responsibility. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts. And to do this, it takes commitment and effort beyond our personal, private world. One of the things about a child is that they're really self-centered. Have you noticed that? Children are so self-centered. They grow up and they're just the center of the universe. I think by about the Piaget, thank you. And his developmental roles of children coming to adults around about the third year of age, he says they are egocentric. The whole world revolves around them. Sometimes they're actually unable to play with other people because they are just the center of the universe and it has to revolve around that. And unfortunately, some adults have never gotten beyond that. They're still egocentric. The world has to revolve around them and what they believe and what they want to do and so on. But as we grow up, one of the lessons in life, we learn to be others-centered. We learn what it is to place to one side our personal needs and priorities and to be others-centered. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20 in the Century English Version, Paul says this, "My friends, stop thinking like children and think like mature people." Stop thinking like children. It's a challenge, isn't it? If we're going to be witnesses for Jesus, we have to stop thinking like children and start thinking like mature people. It takes an adjustment in the way we think about ourselves and the world in which we live. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 in the New Living Translation, Paul says this, "Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too," or others also. Don't think just about your own affairs. Isn't it easy just to be caught up in our own little world? We've got cost of living pressures, we've got interest rates that are rising, we've got families and responsibilities and work needs and everything, and we can get tied up in there just thinking about our own affairs. But I want to challenge you this morning to being witnesses of Jesus. We need to be thinking about the interests of others also, and just not locked into our own little world. We have neighbours, we have friends, we have people of different ethnicities, we have people who are investing themselves in overseas. And Jesus has called us to be witnesses to his good news. Thank you, Kim. Good news locally, nationally, cross-culturally, and internationally. Called us to be witnesses locally, nationally, cross-culturally, and internationally. Not moving from one to another, but simultaneously having these four areas on our heart. And we can't do that if we are simply consumed with our own stuff. I love in the book of Revelation, there's this amazing word picture in the end. And we see a picture of what the end of the age is going to look like. And it says this in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes." One day, the things which mean so much to us, the things which mean so much to me and to you, they won't have any value anymore. They'll be gone. We'll have passed on, been in the Lord's presence. And here's this picture, here's this glimpse of the end of the age, and things have been consummated and all things have come together. And I don't know exactly what that looks like and what's going to happen and to make that actually happen. But I know there's this picture here of myriads and myriads and multitudes of people gathered around the throne of God from every tribe and every nation and every ethnic group that's there. And the things that have value will have value then as people. And we'll have wondered, you know, back when I had an opportunity on planet Earth to talk to my neighbor and I was too busy or I was too self-consumed. I should have done that. Or is that strange ethnic guy that runs the local restaurant where we eat occasionally, and he just seems a bit strange, and I could have reached out to him, I could have been kind, I could have left him a tip, I could have tried to be an influence in his world somehow, but I didn't do that. or we have, you know, people opportunities and we let them slip by because I couldn't be involved in that. I don't want to be involved in that. The things of value in the end are people. You have value. I have value. Around us are people with value. And Jesus commissions us to be people who carry his good news to the world in which we live. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to challenge you today. Are you going to be a witness for Jesus? Are you going to be someone who allows the good news that he's brought into your life, not to smack someone over the head with it, not to ram it down their throats, not to make their life unpleasant or difficult, but to love them and to care for them, to show a kindness to them, to appreciate them, to allow what God has done in your life just to flow through you. If that's you today, just say, Lord Jesus, in my heart, Lord Jesus, that's me. Lord, would you use me in a greater way? Lord, I'm a bit scared sometimes just to come out and tell people about you, but Lord, would you shine through my life? Lord, would you give me a thought sometimes just of a word that I can speak, a word of love, a word of kindness, a word of encouragement? Lord, when I see someone, would you give me the unction to step out and make a random act of kindness towards someone, Lord, who just perhaps on that day needs to know that there's someone that actually cares about them, even just a little bit. If that's you today, just in your heart, say, Lord Jesus, right now. Lord, to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the world, Lord, I'm not just living on planet Earth to please myself and to live for myself, but Lord, would you use me to be your witness, even just in a small way. Use me to be a witness to your life and to your love and to your resurrection power. So, Father, I thank you for everyone who's just affirming that in their heart right now. I pray for your strength. I pray for your encouragement. Lord, I pray for your love. Lord, I pray for a deposit of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to reside in everyone's hearts that's saying yes and amen this morning, that they would find, Lord, a supernatural courage and a supernatural strength, Lord, to step out and go a little further than they've gone before. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray for boldness right now. I pray for boldness. If the thought of this really worries you this morning, if the thought of this just makes you a little bit anxious, the antidote to that is Holy Spirit boldness. And so right now, just open your heart and say, Lord, would you give me boldness? I speak boldness into my heart right now. Lord, right now, boldness, boldness in the name of Jesus. Lord, just a fresh boldness. Right now, while every eye is closed, you might be here today and you've never actually asked Jesus into your life. I want to say today it's good news. It's good news. He doesn't want to hurt you, harm you, disappoint you. He wants to come into your life and strengthen you and encourage you and help you to be the very best human that you could possibly be. If that's you, you've never asked him into your life. Or perhaps you've done that and you've drifted away and you know you want to come back to what it means to be being a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Or perhaps you're a young person here today and you're just hanging around church because that's what mum and dad have done. But today you want to make a decision. Hey, it's not just mum and dad, it's actually me today. I want to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. If that's you, just while eyes are closed, just raise your hand, give me a little wave. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but I would love to pray for you. Is there anyone this morning like to become a follower of Jesus? Follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Father, I thank you for every person gathered here today. Now, Lord, let your presence go with each one of us. Would you strengthen us? Would you encourage us? Would you watch over and keep us safe in this week? And Lord, I want to add my prayer to George's prayer. Lord, for those people who might be at home today, and Lord, they're facing health issues and Lord, difficulties and challenges. We just extend the healing power of Jesus Christ right now. We extend the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We extend the strength of God to each of those people right now. And Lord, we pray a fresh encounter for every person in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome afternoon. And we'll see you in church next Sunday. God bless.